Joshua chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles, your device, whatever you have, if you want to read along with me, we're going to start right in verse 1. And it says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left the acacia grove and arrived at the bank of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. Highlight this next part in your Bible. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went. And the Lord told Joshua. Everybody say, the Lord told Joshua. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. Listen to this. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that I am the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gigavites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites among you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left the camp to cross the Jordan River, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. Look at God. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above began to back up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Gerizim. And the water below that point flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbank was dry. Then all the people crossed over the town near Jericho. Meanwhile, highlight this in your Bible. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Today, I want to talk to you about leaders watch out for blank. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity tonight to share your word. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence with your people. God, it is a privilege to worship you in your house. Lord, no matter where you set up tent, God, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you for your provisions. We thank you for your protection. We thank you that you're going to tailor this word to our hearts, that everything that we say and do over the next few minutes is going to honor and glorify you. God, we come against the thief that would come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We combat that now with the word of God, with the blood of the Lamb, and with the word of our testimony. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this series that we're in right now, we're kind of going to take a look at the life of the Israelites, and we're going to look at some of the transitional pieces that they've been in their life, and how they walked through what God had called them to walk through, and how they did that. And there's some things in there in the Word of God that we can pull out and appropriate to our transitional season. And so one of the things that I want to do quickly before I get started, and I felt like I was telling somebody this earlier, I felt like I really needed to share this story quickly, briefly. But I want to share with you how we ended up here. How did we end up here? Okay, Misty, we know that like Pastor Richie, like 2 days before, got a call saying we're going in. But how did we end up here? So let me tell you what happened. We had two individuals who were interns with us several years ago, Genesis and Brock. Now they're married, Nichols. and so Genesis and Brock were on staff with us and as interns, and then they were called to Generations Church. And so they got married. They started on staff at Generation Church, and they were at that church. That's where they served, and that's where God had called them. And we bless them, and we love them. And Richie and I continued to pour into them and mentor them and invest in them. And every time they were like, hey, ministry's crazy, can y'all come over? We were like, yes, we're on our way. You know, so those kind of things. So we kept a relationship with them, not only because they're our friends and we love them, but we want to see them do all that God has called them to do. And so if I can do anything that says something that just keeps you going just a little bit longer, then that's what I'm here for. And so that's our relationship with them. It's like an iron sharpens iron relationship. And Genesis was in our youth group growing up with Jeff. She was in our youth group and Ethan. And so we've known her forever and always, and we love her forever and always. But what happened was we were transitioning, and in the beginning of the year, those of you that are on staff or in a leadership role, you know that Richie sat in a room with us at the community chapel across the street and said, hey guys, we're not gonna be here next year. And we were like, oh, cool, where are we going? He was like, I don't know. So we were like, okay. So we're just kind of waiting, praying, fasting. Some of you know, I feel like I fasted until I like was, my pants were falling off and like things were, and I'm like, Lord's not giving us any kind of instruction or direction, and what are we supposed to do? And Richie's like, I don't know, but God's gonna lead us. And I'm like, oh, I don't really like that answer, because the planner in me is like, we gotta put some steps in place. Like, what are we working on? And he's like, okay, well, here's what I'm doing. You know, here's what we're doing. We're talking to realtors. We're talking to these people and that people, and we're working on it. Richie and I would go and look at properties, go and look at locations, go and look at stuff, going and looking at all these people. And all these people would say, we don't want to work with church. We don't want to work with church. No, thank you. You're a church? No, thank you. We don't want to work with you. And we felt so defeated, because we're like, Lord, did we not hear from you? And wait a second, if we didn't hear from you, we just told everybody we're not going to be here. So we look like idiots. Wait a second. That spirit of rejection starts to come up. And then what do you do with that? Here, we're telling all these people, come on, emotional health, and go, and you can do it, and you can overcome your family of origin. And here we are crumbling under the weight of, we look like idiots, Lord. Make us look better. And over and over and over, the Lord would say, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I'm like, yes, I trust you, but how many of we, have you ever been in this place where you're like, Lord, I trust you, but Lord, I give you my kid, but Lord, I give you my marriage, but as long as it looks like what I want it to look like. Lord, don't make me look like an idiot in Pinellas County, Florida. So there was this wrestling match that took place, right? What you don't realize sometimes that happens is that as the Lord is leading you guys and teaching you guys, he's also training your leaders to be able to qualify us to speak to you guys, so that, like Paul said, when I've done all that I can do and I've run my race, that I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that when I've done all that I can do, I'm not disqualified. So he's qualifying us in the process of perfecting us. And for some of us, we don't like that. I don't want to be qualified, because I'm already your kid. So why do you have to qualify me now? Why do you have to perfect me in this process? Just let me be. Just give us a nice church and let us be. So what happened was, So what happened was, Genesis and I are in this conversation, and she goes, well, what are you looking for? And I said, well, obviously we need a gym, number one. We need a church, number two, you know, and we need a place where we can store all of our stuff. And so she said, let's just pray. So we prayed. And then all of a sudden, nothing. Guys, we're 30 days out. We're 30 days out. And I'm like, babe, I can't breathe. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he was like, you're fine. God's got it. And I'm like, but are you fine? Like, are we okay? It was a struggle. I'm not going to lie to you. And so what ended up happening, the bottom line was this, that two days before Richie's going to get a storage unit, I said, babe, I feel like you just got to hang on. He was like, you're saying to me, hang on? And I'm like, don't send out anything. I think we're supposed to hang on. And that night, we got a call from Genesis saying, hey, I went in and I just said, hey, listen, I love these people. I know these people. I know this church. Please, can we do this for them? And this is not a building that they're even occupying yet. This is a building that they are purchasing for their church growth. But the Lord is so faithful and he is so good that he worked out all the details so that we could come into this space and have church. And we don't have to worry about, are we bugging somebody? Are we bumping into churches? Are we interrupting their flow? We don't have to worry about any of that because God worked all the details out. And just like with the children of Israel, they didn't know how they were getting across the Jordan River until 3 days before they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And I'm here to tell you that 3 days prior to us coming into this building across the street from where we used to be, God made a way and he made provisions and he showed up like he always does. Like he always does. And so I was excited to tell you that story, and I'm excited to tell you about those things, but I also think there are some things that we have to be careful for in the Word of God, and there are some warning signs, and there are three main things that I think in this story specifically that we need to really just drill down into. And the first thing that leaders need to watch out for, because each one of you, whether you realize it or not, you're a leader. You are a leader. You're a leader of something. Whether you're a believer or not, you're leading. You're either leading yourself, you're leading your family, you're leading spiritually. You might be leading your dog, but you're leading something. Everyone in this room is leading something. The first thing that you have to watch out for is sin. The very first thing is sin. Joshua 3:5, he tells them to purify themselves before. Why would he say that? We already know we're going in. Why do we have to purify ourselves? Why would God want us to purify ourselves? The point is this, that the closer that you get to God, raising you up to the next level, the more he's going to ask of you. The reason being is because he's calling you to lead at a greater capacity. And what he doesn't want to see anymore in the body of Christ, and I'm convinced of this, we're convinced of this, is he doesn't want to see any more people being led astray by foolishness. And so he's going to call it out for what it is. And he's going to say, hey, listen, with this area of sin, I need you to get it on lock. That means if something was okay in the last season, it's not okay in this season. That means the things that you were held on to, and like Richie talked about, those bondages, those things that kind of held you in the last season that weren't such a big deal. It's not a big deal. I got it under control. The Lord's saying, where I'm going, where we're going, I need you to shed that because I need you to be lighter. I need your load to be lighter because I'm taking you somewhere that you cannot go and carry that. And there are some people that should be in this room today that are not here because they wouldn't let go of what they wanted. And the Lord said, I can't let you go any step further. You gotta wait right here. At church, I wanna challenge you. Don't watch your people walk across the street and not be with them. Don't watch your people go where God has called you, but because you weren't willing to shed some stuff, I don't get to go with you in that process. Let's bring it out to a bigger place. One day, the Lord is coming back for his church without spot or blemish, and we will be caught up in the air, the Bible says. Don't be the one saying, man, Lord, why? I didn't know. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Where were you? Why couldn't I hear you? And God saying, I sent you this person, and I sent you that person, and I tried to shell some stuff here, but you didn't listen to me. You didn't want to go where I called you to go. He's calling you, church, to shed it off so that we can go to a place of a new miracle, of a new level with him. But if you're not ready, you can't go. And he doesn't want to leave you behind. He died on the cross so that no man should perish. No man. But we make the choice every single day. And sometimes the choice that we make is that I'm going to do nothing when I should do something. And I want to challenge you today that you got to get sin on lock. The second thing is self-promotion. You got to be careful with self-promotion. Joshua 3:7 says this, the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am your God, just as I was with Moses. The Lord told Joshua. There are some of you that are so infatuated with the applause of men that the Lord is saying, it's clouding your judgment to hear where I'm taking you. Let me qualify you. Let me speak truth to you. Let me speak to your voice, to your spirit man. Let me tell you what I've called you to be. Don't listen to what everybody else has called you to do. Listen, this is one of the saddest things in the body of Christ. When pastors become so infatuated with the applause of men that we see them crumble because they've become an idol in everyone's eyes. Lord, let us be humble. Let us stay in a place, Lord, where we're seeking you and where we're fasting after you, God, and where we're running after you. And when someone says, hey, great message. Hey, great job. Hey, great idea on your job. Hey, Cam, great job. You promoted. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're this, you're that. And Cameron says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the abilities that you've given me. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of saying, you're right. God is lucky to use me. Instead of saying that, she gives all the glory and all the praise back to God. And then watch how she gets elevated even more to a level that God has called her to. And that's what happens. Self-promotion cuts off your promotion. It works against you. Because you can't, you will be elevated in the natural, but in God's eyes, you will not. And we're not working for man. We're working for God. And so we're not storing up treasures here on the earth. We're storing up treasures in heaven. And some of us act like politicians when it comes to our walk with life, our walk with faith. And we're kissing babies and shaking hands and yes, God's using me. And all the while the Lord's like, well, I was using you, but now the world is using you. And just as quickly as they will elevate you, they will also bring you down, for sure. The third point is this, and if I could have Jeff come up for a second. Jeff Payne, Jr. Sorry, I forgot. I had to give the junior or senior qualification. The third thing that we have to watch out for is this. We have to watch out for fatigue. You have to watch out for a spirit of fatigue. I have never in all of my life, maybe because I'm an adult and this is how adults talk, I don't know. But when you ask somebody how you do, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. My 16-year-old says this all the time and I want to literally smack her. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. Did you pay a bill today? Are you tired from paying pills? Because that's, you're right, that's exhausting. Mortgage, exhausting. That's exhausting. Chemistry, not so much. You can handle it, right? But fatigue. Joshua 3:17 says this, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed on dry ground. And we read over that scripture and we're like, oh, that's so amazing. Like they were, that was so great. And God did such wonderful things in that. But let's put things into context for a second. Most scholars believe that the Ark of the Covenant was carried by approximately four Levitical priests with two alternates. The Ark weighed between 300 and 600 pounds. That's heavy. 300 and 600 pounds. And they carried that thing all around the desert for 40 years. 40 years on two poles. Y'all get a picture of this for a second. When they crossed over the Jordan River, the Bible scholars estimate that there was between 600,000 and 2 million people that crossed over. You got to do some Bible math sometimes, y'all. It'll blow your mind. But I have over here, Jeff, if you could help me. Those of you that don't know, Jeff is like a weightlifting stud muffin. He can't fit in his pants. Him and my brother split their pants like every day lifting weights. But Jeff, if you could do me a favor, will you just hold, this is 300 pounds right here. Can you just hold this for me? That's 300 pounds. Look at his face, y'all. Jeff, I'm going to preach the rest of my message. Y'all just, you just hang out right here with this. You can put it down. You can put it down. I want you to imagine this for a second. 300 pounds at minimum being carried by four men while an entire nation crosses over. And I want you to process in your mind, what kind of training does it take for you to be able to do something like that? What kind of, these were priests, y'all. They weren't weightlifters. They weren't like Jeff, okay? These were priests. But they had been doing it for 40 years, carrying that weight for 40 years. So that in that moment, when God says, I need you, that they were like, yes, Lord, we've been training for this. 40 years prior to that, their ancestors grumbled and complained and argued and cried and whined. We can't go into the promised land. There's giants in the land. Yes, there's honey and milk and things like that, but there's also giants in the land. And Richie said last week, one of his points was, close your mouth. Close your mouth, because your mouth is going to disqualify you from going into the promised land. And I want to say to you today, I want to reiterate to you today that fatigue in one season will cause you to miss out what God has called you in the next season. Because if you take a break off, if you take a step back, if you stop moving forward, if you stop doing what God has called you to do in one season, you're automatically at a deficit moving into the next season. And some of you in here are being outpaced. And this is the challenge from the Lord. I'm telling you, I felt this so strongly in my spirit this week. Richie and I were talking about it. We were talking about this with Bubba and Sarah the other night. There are some of you who look like you've been doing the work. You look like you've been putting in the work. But all of a sudden, when God says, hey, pick it up and go, where are you? Where are you? We look around and you're in quicksand because secretly you were in sin instead of doing what God has called you to do in the off season and training in the off season. What you're doing is you're moving forward, but you're stuck. I want to move. I see him going. I see him moving, but I can't go because I haven't shed off my sin. I haven't done what God has asked me to do back here. And so I'm not qualified to go here. And I don't want to miss out on what God has called me to, but I don't know how to shed the sin. I'm telling you this, work on it in the off season. You got to get ready when nobody is applauding you. You got to get ready when nobody is co-signing. Oh, yes, good job. You got to get ready. You got to be up at 5 a.m. in the Word of God every single day, because there are some things that he's going to speak to you in that still small time, in that quiet time with him, where he's going to say, hey, Malia, I want you to apply for that position. Wait, Lord. I don't really want to apply for that position again. And in that quiet moment with the Lord, he's going to say, now is your season. Thank you for being obedient in the quiet time with me. Thank you for the last 12 months that you've been in the Word every single day. Thank you for those moments where you've sought me, where you've worshiped me when you didn't want to, where you've raised your kids in the fear and the admonition of Christ. When you see your past, but you also see God is faithful and he's leading me into where he's called me to. And there are some of us in here who God is calling us, but we got to shed some stuff before we can go in. Will you stand with me? I want you to think about this moment right here, where the priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant and the Israelites are getting ready to cross, and they're starting to cross. And I want you to remember, like I told you the story prior to how we got here, we're gonna tell that story to generation after generation after generation in TCC. And the reason being is because it's gonna build faith in every generation. That means our kids are gonna hear about the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. That means that their kids are gonna hear, hey, listen, let me tell you how God came through for Nani and Poppy's whole church. They're gonna tell that story, and you're gonna tell your kids that story, and your kids are gonna tell the story. And long, 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 long after we're all gone, that story is still gonna be reiterated, just like it was with the Israelites. And what I imagine in my mind, as those Levitical priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant, they're holding the presence of God, holding back what would have killed them, but the presence of God is holding it back, and they're holding it. What I imagine is Deuteronomy 6, them quoting this over and over again as they're holding it. And it says this: the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a large land, prosperous cities that you did not build, houses where you are richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. You will eat from the vineyard and olive trees that you did not plant. And God is saying over and over again to his people, if you trust me, I've got more for you. I promise you, I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. You may feel like you're holding 300 pounds right now of weight in your body, in your life, in your hands. But God is saying, I'm having you hold it for a purpose. You're being trained in this season. You're being trained to hold for that one moment where God said, I want to use you. I want to show you off in front of the world. I want to display my glory through you. But are you ready? Or are you going to be left behind? Don't do it, church. Let this message reverberate in your spirit all week long. Ask the Lord, Lord, in what area am I holding on to fear when I need to let go of it and I need to hang on to faith? Because I'm telling you, just like with this church, God is not done with you. He is not done with you. And he wants to show up time after time after time. He wants to show you his faithfulness year after year after year. When the doctor said you should have been dead because of that cancer, and you're saying, look at me 20 years later, cancer free, God is doing it. Fran, God wants to heal you. It's still your promise. Hold on to it. Hold on to it.